every time we get together, it'd be every couple of months, and I'll either speak or whoever I have in as a guest speaker. If I've got somebody that has an ability to speak from the business world or somewhere in that area, I'll often have them as a guest as well. And then we're going to be giving you a link. You'll be sent an email after every KB event here and after every Kingdom Builder event in Winnipeg, because Winnipeg has been going now for years, so that every message that comes out, you'll have access to. And I really encourage you to listen to them, because usually I get to go there when I get together with you guys, because I'm not qualifying everything. You know what I mean? We've got mature people who, they love the church, they love God, they have a good attitude already with money, and I don't have, usually when I teach on Sunday, I've got to be careful. I've got to put all these little caveats in. And but Kingdom Builders in our church, especially when we started in Winnipeg, is probably the only reason we've been able to go through every door that God opens. Because every time an opportunity arises, and I'll give you a quick report on what's going on right now, and then I want to teach just for a few minutes about, for you guys, about how to get to the next level for you. But as a church, I don't think I ever would have, like, I always believed God, we'd have a big church, that God would do something in one city. So just to be in more than one city is already past what I believed for my whole life. Was like one mega church. And then all of a sudden we get this TV network channel, and that thing is going and touching people. I mean, the messages that we do in church today are now going into 8 languages. And so we're going across Russia in Russian. A little while ago, we were just put on Spanish countries. And 97 Spanish-speaking countries now get everything that we teach going there. It's going into, I just got an email about 3 weeks ago about 1,040 people who have now given their lives to Christ in Pakistan. Because we're now on a Pakistan station speaking Urdu, and it's got a reach of 300 million Muslims. So the things that God is doing from one church are so huge that when we talk about, you know, every church has been given the same mandate, and that is go into the world and preach the gospel. Jerusalem first, which means our home city. Then to Judea, which is a surrounding area. Then Samaria, which always represents hurting people, marginalized people, and then to the outermost parts of the world. And I'll give you a few praise reports. I was just in Phoenix with a group called DPNS, who are the group who help people in television to figure out, to understand donor bases, to understand all the systems that are needed to have world-class TV. And so I was at a table just like this, and I was the only person in the room, and all their experts sitting around, and I said, I just got done a meeting with another group called the 4Bs, who look after all the third world countries. I said, they tell us that there is only a handful of ministries in the world that do what we do. I said, could you clarify that for me before I start sharing that? And they look at each other and they said, we know television around the world. I mean, these guys help. You pick a big name, Joel Osteen, any other, they know them all. And they said, there's less than a handful of ministries that are already doing what you guys do, because you are through. And they just begin to list all of the countries, all of the languages that keep opening up to us. And so that was a pretty sobering moment, because, you know, we sometimes just go, 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 go. That's the way we're designed. That's our whole church is wired that way. That's who we attract, you know, as the go-getters. And it was just a sobering moment that all of a sudden I thought, wow, in our lifetime, we can have a world impact. We can do something that's going to impact the world. And the message that they all want, the reason that they say, we'll give you the time. We still have to deliver it through satellite. We got to get it there. So there's still tons of money involved. But the time that has been given to Springs Church, we don't even know how to figure out what it's worth. But it's millions and multitudes of millions of dollars. And I'll be announcing soon another thing. We were just handed $7 million worth of daily TV shows that will now be going on the East Coast of America and the West Coast of America. And God just keeps expanding everything we do. And the message that seems to make them stand up is spirit contemporary. That simple but yet profound thinking of being spiritually alive, moving in the power of God, but then doing it in a contemporary and in a cool way. And so it's just stunning what God is doing. I mean, Mandarin in China, This one's been waiting now for a year and a half. We have a devotional in 8 languages so that wherever we go, that if we're in Pakistan, the second they give their lives to Christ, they sign up for that devotional. It comes in Urdu or whatever that language is right into their device, and every day they're being taught the word. And so it's just what God is doing is phenomenal. And I think that there's 2 things as a church we're always going to be focused on. Our local church, which it's cool to see Calgary busting at the seams in both services. We got to go to 3. Sally says we have to go to other sites. I agree with her. She's been bugging me for a year. Another site, another site, another site. And I think we've got enough depth and leadership to do that, that we just say, okay, let's go to another site and see what God's going to do. And then, so it's our local churches, which is our platform to prove Spirit Contemporary. And then it's what God's doing around the world. And so it's really exciting. I'll keep giving you guys updates on what is happening. And, I'll give you a, where's this one going? This is, every time I say a thing on tape, I gotta be careful. TBN just made a decision, and we're just in the middle of the process of it, of taking Joel Osteen, Joseph Prince, and giving them a morning slot on the West Coast. But whenever you buy time on the West Coast, you're in a sucky time on the East Coast. So if you grab a 8 o'clock spot on the West Coast, you know, you are what, 11? No one is watching you at 11 or 12 on the West. So what they decided was they're gonna take, and it's all in process still, so anybody who's listening to this, no, this is not a done deal, it's in process. But there's Joel Osteen, Joseph, so he wants hope taught to the world, then grace, and then he's putting us on as well. There's a 3-person strip going every morning across the West Coast. Then he's splitting the signal and making it morning as well in the East Coast. I mean, I think the price tag on that's got to be close to $7 million of just TV time. And so we are literally going to be, and he wants Spirit Contemporary being taught every time. And that's just one of the latest things we're working on right now. So God is so good. And so I want you to know that as you invest in Springs Church, that it's not Dickey D, it's not just a little thing, but literally already your investment is challenging and taking Spirit Contemporary. It's interesting when Mandarin-speaking pastors who don't even speak English hear this and then want us through all of their, the head guy for the house churches in the urban area of China flew out to meet with me because he wants us involved with every one of their home churches all through the cities because of Spirit Contemporary. So it's just, even when I was, it was interesting when I was talking about Spanish, and I met with Enlace, which is the television company, and they're talking about Spirit Contemporary. We met 3 times for 4 hours a pop for them to understand what Spirit Contemporary means. And they're a wonderful family who's in charge, and they have 2 daughters who really run it. They're sharper than tacks, and his wife's an amazing. And he's the man who's got, he thinks it through, but everything he's got systemized. So he was slow and really accepting Spirit Contemporary. And he said, you know, the number one question we get asked when we do fundraisers? And I said, what? He said, can Christian women wear pants?
Wow.
That's the number one question. So you can see how that Roman Catholicism has brought such legalism into the body of Christ that they need to be set free from that. Mm-hmm. That, you know, it's not about laws, it's about grace. So it's an interesting landscape. And what right now we're literally looking at India, we're looking at Indonesia. Doors are opening up in both of those countries. So when you give, it's not just helping us raise up great local churches, but it's causing us to touch the world in a way that few would ever dream of in their lifetime. I never even believed. Me and Sal will always pray that God's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, just thinking, you know, maybe a little bit. And then it just goes off the charts. So it's good. It's exciting. It's good. It's an incredibly exciting time. And when I was in Israel speaking at this conference of Spirit-filled churches is where I think it was 140 denominations and ministries that came together. And I unpacked Spirit Contemporary for them. And you could just see the shock in the place as I just taught them how to be contemporary, cool, relevant, and then I began to unpack all the miracles that we're seeing, one after the other, after the other. And when I got down off the pulpit and just trying to walk out to the next session in this Coliseum, I was literally mobbed. just by all of the Chinese and the Africans, many of them wearing the headsets of different languages being interpreted in this arena, because Spirit Contemporary is something that is our church has really pioneered and seen work and will touch the world. But I want to share for a few thoughts for you today about something. And I want to talk to you about the monumental gap that you will always deal with between your true identity and your believed identity. All the struggles in your life will be because of these two things. What is your true identity? And what is your believed identity? All right, so let's stop. What's your true identity? Well, your true identity is a son of God. You should feel natural walking on streets of gold. You should feel natural handling billions. You should feel natural being a leader of such influence that people will come to you, because as a child of God, none of those should be foreign. You should be confident in who you are. You should be just relaxed and happy and at peace, never guilt-ridden or condemned. Your true identity, if you really took apart the Word of God, and what is your true identity? Now, what is your believed identity? Now, your believed identity is only as far as you're going to get. But once you know your true identity, and then you've got your believed identity, that gap in between is the biggest contradiction, struggle, the biggest angst that you're going to have in your life. So if you want to increase in any area, family, marriage, romance, but we're talking about money mainly right now, so your career, you rising up and being able to influence in that area, you must deal with this before you learn new systems, new skills, new abilities, before you learn how to handle more staff, before you do more investments, before your career path is all figured out. Before you do that, if you do not deal with your perceived identity and your true identity, it'll sabotage you every time. And people who work with you, when you go to a new level, will sense this thing in you that, you know, have you ever met somebody where you just, I don't want to do business with them. I don't really want to hire them. And you can't even put your finger on it. But in most cases, there'll be something wrong between their perceived identity and or believed identity and their true identity. So in Proverbs 4:23, it deals with this when it says that guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues or the boundaries of your life. So what everybody at this table, including me, are believing God for something right now. If we were just to stop and slow down, and we won't today, but if we were just to stop and slow down and say, what are you believing God for right now? What is it that's on the table? You know, what are you believing Him for? As you believe for that, if you must first go to the Word and find out, what does God say about it? Now, what do I truly believe about it? Now, how to know what you believe about it will be your daydreaming. Look at your daydreaming to find out where your true beliefs are. Because if you find yourself sitting there fantasizing about losing it all and your house is gone and can't pay your bills, then even though you're confessing the Word, which is the way, one of the ways to help you get your believed identity to your true identity, it's not there yet. And so that's probably, so your emotions and your daydreaming, okay, will be the one of the most accurate ways. Because if you are, you can't, you know, when you're under pressure, like financial pressure, you can't smile, you can't laugh, you're trying to have fun with people, but you've got this whole load that's sitting on you right here going, if I do not make this, if I do not clear, if I do not get this job, if I don't score this deal, if I don't get a job, if there's, like, this thing just, it pushes at you. And faith deals, your identity is the first thing you must deal with in your faith life. So looking at your true identity, now a lot of Christians don't even believe that their true identity in Christ is prosperous, or the series we're doing right now on blessed. They don't even get that. They've been taught a lie that you could be sick and God might want that. You could be poor and it's God's will for your life. You could be, you know, under attack and it's just God teaching you something. So they don't even know what to believe. These people often, all they can really do is just trust that whatever is going to happen is God's will. And it's so contradictory to the new covenant. So we must know what our true identity is, and then we must believe it. This is the gap that you will deal with for the rest of your life. Let's pick on business, for example. If you can do, you know, a couple million of business in your company, or if you're in a career path where you're making a phenomenal salary, maybe it's, you know, $250,000 a year, $300,000 a year that you're making. And now as you play in this company, you begin to rise up in that company, or you're going to take your business to a new level, your true identity, I'm sorry, your believed, I want to say this sweetly without offending anybody. Your believed identity is where you are now. That's your believed identity. You know, ever meet somebody that talks a good talk, blah, 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 and when you put them in a room and you just cheer, this guy's worth amazing bucks and he's got thousands of employees, and you find out later he's not got a job. So what is his believed identity? It is where he is now. That is your truly believed identity. Now, as you rise up in life, you'll always have ups and downs. That's normal, okay? But your believed identity will always win. So even if you get a spike of a job that you really don't believe this is who you are, you will sabotage it. Now, you won't do it consciously, but you'll do it subconsciously. You'll find yourself, and many people think it's the devil. If I could write a book on all the men and women I've watched up through the last 30 years of pastoring, as they've learned who they are in Christ, and they've been given an opportunity, and all of a sudden they're living in this certain area with God, and something just crazy happens, and it just gets sat, they get sick. Tons of them will get sick at the wrong time. Tons of them will begin to do stupid things. You go, why are you doing this? And in many cases, what they're doing is their believed identity and where they're going, it just starts to fall apart. So the key to all of us right now is to guard our heart. But the word guard doesn't mean just to stay where you are, protect where you are. It's get your heart closer to your true identity. Now, if we talk true identity, Bill Gates, he runs billions. Could you? Absolutely. Well, what if it's not God's will? No, let's back away from that for a minute, because God's will is all his promises. We've gotten so specific that God might will someone to prosper, someone not. Not true. Every promise in the book for prosperity is to everyone. No one is called to be poor. God doesn't go, So one of the things I work on all the time is, where am I going next? And, okay, so I said, God, can I kind of see where I think you're putting me? And then I'll begin to pray and envision and ask Holy Spirit to help me see and get natural at this. Maybe if you've ever gotten a new house or a new car that's beyond what you've always had before and how awkward you feel when you first get it, or if you get a job that this was an incredible miracle. You're just risking it. If you could even handle this job, it's so foreign. But if you just go for it in a matter of months or even days or weeks, you can literally just begin to, you're here. This is me. And this is now the new you. Your true identity, which is you can do how much? All things, anything. That's true. And it's through Christ who strengthens you. But it's your believed identity. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, that I don't have faith. It's just, it's attached to where I'm coming from. I grew up with a dad and a mom in a little town who are phenomenal pastors, phenomenal leaders. But seeing a church of 100 people all my life had to be completely dealt with, because I had never imagined a church bigger than 100 people. And, you know, when we finally got into Selkirk, we saw 200, okay? It's phenomenal. We doubled this church. We were in the heyday. This was incredible. It was wonderful. If God would have ever showed me then what I was doing now, I think I'd had a nervous breakdown. If God would have ever given me prematurely something, like when the Miracle Channel came on, or multiple sites, or the need to raise me, if he ever would have done that prematurely. Now, and of course, it's not even up to God, because, and we'll get into that, I could never have handled it, because my believed identity was where I was at the time. So this faith life that people talk about sometimes is simpler than just knowing all the Bible and being able to quote all of it. One thing that's really helped me in my world is getting out of my world and beginning to rub shoulders with guys who have 1,000 in their church. You know, I'll never forget the first time I went to a conference where a guy had a church and he was literally running 2,000 per service. I mean, it blew my mind. I walked into there and I looked around and it's like everything within me was being expanded and being accelerated. And there's something about breaking out of where you are that's really good for you, whether it's rubbing shoulders, making a new friendship. Some people are, a lot of times the key to your next assignment from God is a relationship. And if you're anti-relationship or you're too busy for relationships or there's just too much work to have another person in my home, you got to be careful. Because all through the Word, when people prayed, God always sent them a person. Egypt, when they were in Egypt, they prayed for deliverance, prayed for deliverance, prayed for deliverance. Who did God send them? Moses. Okay? Then they're now in the walking around the desert for 40 years, dying off, and they're praying for the promised land. Who did God raise up? Joshua. You know, the Goliath's out there screaming at King Saul. They're all praying and believing Yahweh is going to see them through. What did God raise up? A shepherd boy with a slingshot. And a lot of times the person that he brings into your life might just expand your horizons. Now, here's another beautiful thought that for me. People change my world through their books and their messages because I'm an avid reader and I'm an avid listener. So a person can write a book. I just met a new friend the other day, had him on the show, and he touched a nerve with me. And I quickly got his book and I began to go through it. I'm halfway through it and there's just bells going off. Not that it's so unique, but it's just the way this man has brought some things out is just lighting me up. So make sure that in your private time, you have something that is continually moving you from your believed identity. And don't get arrogant with your believed identity. I'll talk to some people. I've talked to pastors about this. They say, Leon, how do I grow my church to multi-site? How do we get it from where it is to the next site? What are the systems you use? And I said, oh, you know, probably similar to what you've got. Well, what's the key? I don't know of one key. Is there one thing you can tell me that would help me? Yes, I can help you. What is it? And here's what I'll go. Let's talk about your perceived identity and your true identity. And I'll start talking about this. Almost every one of them will just kind of smile at me and go, that's good, that's good. But you know, God's already showed me that. And I said, okay, well, can I say something? Will you not be offended if I say it? No. I said, are you sure? Yes, your perceived identity is exactly where you are today. And to measure it any other way is not biblical. Because the Bible very clearly says that a good man from the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man from the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. A world-changing man will bring forth world-changing things because of the world-changing treasure in his heart. And a mediocre man will bring forth mediocre things from the mediocre treasure in his heart. Yes, I'm good at systems. Yes, I've surrounded myself with incredibly talented people who pick up so much of the load. But those are all taught in business school. One of the differences that I'm trying to get people, and I'm moving it to all of our business people as well, is that you'd better find some time each day, and you better go to brain-expanding, identity-expanding verses, and then you need to go to the end and say, well, what is God saying to me about this? And then what's your dream? What's in your heart? If you've got your own business, what is that picture that would say to you, I'm at the top of my game? Maybe it's at a certain awards dinner. That this is where you're going to be the most influential. Good, see it. Maybe it's a certain house. Maybe it's, I don't care what it is, but if it means something to you, then let Holy Spirit show that to you. One of the mistakes I made in Calgary, okay, was that when we came 7 or 8 years ago, I had so many people talk to me about no buildings for sale here. There's nothing you're going to do. We met with people. I remember one time meeting with some people who said, Leon, where do you want your building? So I drew a bullseye, and I drew a bullseye on the Chinook Mall area. And I said, right here. I believe this is great access from everywhere. And they just laughed at me. I said, you won't find anything. Where else? I said, well, draw a bullseye and draw the rings out, and I guess whatever ring. So we'd look at property, you know, a mile or two out of the city. We'd look at different things. But every person I talked to literally laughed at me, and I let that get into my heart. Okay? So here we are renting the university, and we've got that building, and Sal and I, Sally's really good for it. It's amazing how God gives you what you need in your spouses. It doesn't mean what you like at times, but it's what you need. And so she would just say, Leon, we need a building. I said, we're looking, Sally, we're believing. And one day, a couple years ago, as I'm teaching this, Spirit of God just touched me and said, what about this issue right here? What about a building for the Calgary site? What are you going to do with that? And so right away, I began to just do exactly as I'm teaching you. I think, okay, what is my perceived identity about this? How do I see myself in Calgary? And what? So right away, I begin to literally see myself standing in front of that building and saying, we've got it, we've got it. Didn't know where it was going to be or what it was going to do. So with all that went down, all of a sudden, it got orchestrated and a building came up. Well, God's got a pretty cool sense of humor because the bullseye is exactly where we got that building. And I want to say the same thing for you with your businesses, with what you're doing, is that don't limit him. And our perceived or our believed identity always limits God. Just recognize that. Know that. Don't be upset about it or get arrogant and say, not me, I'm a... No, no, just recognize that where you are is what your believed identity is. And then make sure that you are moving. Otherwise, you'll always camp out somewhere. I did a message I think they'll give you access to called Climbers, Campers, and Quitters. And when climbing a mountain, there's three kinds of people. One keep climbing and climbing, and they get sipped. I'm going back down. This is ridiculous. I've just had enough. And they quit their career, and they just go back down to something simple and easy. Then the campers hit a certain level on that mountain, and the view's good enough. This is good enough for me. I'm stopping right here. But the climbers never stop. And they're the only ones who will enjoy the view at the top. And it's one of the things I'm trying to get into the Christian world is Proverbs 23:7, as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Not as he thinks in his head. And your heart is the believed you. Your heart is your identity. Your heart is how you see yourself, how you see your belongings, how you see your career, how you see your sex life, how you see everything in your world comes out of the heart and how you see. So we call that your believed identity. Now, the world has got this, and they'll teach you some of this stuff. But now when you add this new teaching, well, not new, but what we're doing now, of the blessing is supernatural favor. Don't just work this principle. Recognize that as you begin to learn the word, that the blessing of God is his favor. It is supernatural ability working for you. So now you've got the skills, you're developing your heart, you're rising up, and you've got to believe in your true identity. What is it? And you need to go for yourself in every verse you find. This is my true identity. Right upon the high places of the earth, my true identity. Generations blessed to the third and the fourth, this is my true identity. Lend to nations, this is my true identity. And you're going to have to work your way to it. And there will be ups and there will be downs. All of us have bad years. Never let a bad season, do not call a bad season your life. That's just a bad season. Don't call a bad year your life. A lot of married couples, when they go through hard times, you know, they've been married 20 years, and then they'll be in the middle of a bad year. You get them in the counseling office, one of them will always say, it's always been bad. It was just been crap our whole life. And it's wrong. It's not true at all. I've watched them in our church laugh and love and had an incredible relationship. But that season of crap makes you think everything's been and everything will be. It's just a season. And you're going to pass through it. And it's going to go. What takes you through seasons quickly is move your believed self up. Continue to go in the Word. Get around the right people. Some of you will have a close friend that you need to ask. I'm not talking about your spouse, okay? But if there's somebody in your world that, and now I can even help you find them. Here's who they are. Be realistic. Be logical. Let me be a devil's advocate for you. If those three things are being said all the time, you're quite possibly, if it's a relationship you can't change that or move it away because it will mess with your believed identity. So I could go through a lot of stuff, but as you go through the different leaders in the Word of God who do deal with this, you'll find that God always put them through a believed identity course. Moses didn't want to do it. Okay? And so he had to work with Moses. He had to put him in the desert for 40 years, have him see a burning bush, and tell him everywhere his feet go, he's giving it to him. You know, Abraham had to have him look up and count the stars. This is good. He's always had to make every leader he's ever gone to, he's had to make them think bigger. And you are no different. wherever you are right now, you must allow him to make you think bigger. Because your believed perception of your identity, and by identity, I don't mean, well, I know what my identity is. I am saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Spirit, and all things are mine. Good. I'm glad you have that doctrinally in your heart, okay? But now your perceived identity, it's what you daydream about. It's what you fantasize about. You know, some people, they fantasize all the time on failure. I'll talk with them. I remember talking to one guy one time, and he was dealing with a mild sickness. And I said to him, I says, you're already fantasizing about your funeral, aren't you? What? How'd you know that? And so I said, you've got your funeral pallbearers all picked out. I do. How'd you know that? I said, because if you're going to go, when it comes to sickness, if you go in that direction, death's always the outcome. If that's the outcome, you start thinking about your funeral. What's my wife going to do when I'm gone? Will she marry somebody else? Who's going to be my, are they going to cry at my funeral? I mean, everybody's the same. And he said, you got to stop that daydreaming because your believed identity is going down and you can lose it pretty quick. So this whole issue, and I wanted this one thought to get into your world. Maybe write this down somewhere, the true identity, and remind yourself of what that is. True identity as far as your marriage, what can you handle, what can you lead? It's stressful for me to try to raise millions, we were talking about it a minute ago, for the church, and trying to always find givers, and people are always leaving, and some are upset when you talk about money. And so you're always in this kind of, but then pick up a couple campuses of school that need millions as well, and then a TV station that gets handed. And if you're not careful, everything begins to weigh you down. So to be around me can be a real bore. Because why? Because whether I'm trying to play or trying to have lunch, you can just see the load as I can't. What am I laughing for? I got to find $2 million by the end of November. What am I laughing for? If I don't do this, we're going to lose the station and the license. And all of this stuff weighs you. So your capacity increases when your believed identity increases. Okay? When your believed identity increases, your capacity increases. And this is crucial for what God's got for you. Because if you were able to own, have, lead things that your believed identity is not ready for, you will lose your health. You'll lose relationships. You'll lose your mind. You'll lose all these things because you just can't handle it. So, well, Leon, then it's God's timing. No, God's timing is always today. It's really up to us to allow Holy Spirit. Now, here's my final thought. Holy Spirit is to lead you into all truth. We always think that that truth is exterior. Which wife should I marry? What company should I work for? And he will help you with that. But the greatest thing Holy Spirit does, according to Hebrews 4:12, is that the Word of God is alive and powerful, and it'll help you to discern the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Now, intentions deal with identity. What are your intentions with your life? Oh, I don't know, Leon. I'm just trying to pay my bills right now. So you've lowered it to just paying your bills. You don't even dream anymore. You've lowered it to this need. You're so focused on one need that you're not even believing anymore. And it's a dangerous place to be. So allow him to guide you, teach you in this area of believed identity until it becomes your true. All right. Hey, let's have a dessert.